Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. I'll be with you for three of the next 4 hours.
All Steve Jones Thursday. Yes.
And today, our first high school previews of the year. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll introduce everybody to Greg Wetzel, bring in Mike Ferlazzo.
Oh, what an upgrade that is.
All I had to say was Mike.
But you know, then again, we all make our personal choices in life on our careers.
And Pat O'Brien, too. We'll get all three here at 3:35.
You know,
go around the horn here.
It was really good to see Pat the other night. It was really, I saw Ryan Brandt there, too. Didn't we? Ryan Brandt was there, too.
And our stat man, or as they say, Zat man, the Z-man extraordinaire, Zach Showers.
Yeah.
Got our Seals boys there on Monday night at the party. They are fired up, ready to go. Zach sent out the game notes to Pat, Ryan, and I last night, so you know it's getting close when Zach's in prep mode, making us all sound better. Especially on the game night portion of the evening tomorrow night on Eagle 107. Can't do it without Zach.
That's great.
Yep.
You know, we have one of those guys, too, on the radio network. Me. I do my own. Did I ever tell you? Have I ever told the story about the Outback Bowl with Tennessee? I tell all these stories to so many people. Sometimes I forget which audience I've told it to, which group I've told them to sometimes.
We got a few minutes. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. By the way, Frank put Danny on Monday. And Jack Ham Monday. And I think Jason Rollison coming up on Monday as well. On Monday's show. Tomorrow, Erica Dombach. And also tomorrow, we'll hear from the coaches that coach the Olympians. Including, yes, we will hear from Cale Sanderson tomorrow. Some interesting comments from Cale Sanderson about Olympic wrestling officiating. Does that whet the appetite?
That sure does. Yeah, Cale had some interesting comments on social media. Oh, we'll just leave it at interesting.
That's okay. We've got him actually saying it. Okay. Oh, no. You know, it was an interesting session with him today. And I wanted to save it for tomorrow, okay? All right. We're doing the Outback Bowl. And it's Penn State and Tennessee. And at Raymond James Stadium, which is the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there is plexiglass between booths. There's a wall, but then to the front there's plexiglass. So you can see into the next booth, left, right, whatever. And we were more about the 20, 25-yard line. And to our right was the Tennessee broadcast booth. Now, this is before we had a sideline person. So our core group of four happened to be there. Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman, Jack Ham, me. Four. So Roger looks over into the Tennessee booth. And Jack and I were talking about something with Jeff. And he says, "You won't believe what's over there." I said, "Over where?" He says, "In the Tennessee booth." So what about it? They have 14 people in there. I said, 14, huh? I said, "Wow, it's a pretty big number." And he says, "I'm going to go over and find out what's going on." And I looked at him. I said, "Knock yourself out." Whatever you want to do, it's fine. So he comes back later with a full report. He says, "They have two engineers." I said, "Okay." They have a producer. They have a director. They have a sideline guy, and he has his own producer. They have the play-by-play guy, two analysts, and then they have a spotter for Tennessee, a spotter for Penn State, and a spotter for the officials. And I said, okay.
Yeah. What else could you add to the report?
I said, well, it's pretty impressive. I said, that's quite a network they have there. But, yeah, that's all I said. You know, it's like I don't care. But I will say it was interesting though because of all the people they have. So I mean, it wasn't discarding what Roger was saying. Not actually 180 of that. It was like, wow, it's a lot of people. Well, Bob Kessling is the play-by-play guy for Tennessee, and Bob is an excellent play-by-play announcer, and Bob is a true gentleman, very nice guy. And he comes over into the booth, you know, to exchange A, pleasantries, and B, just a little bit back and forth. How do you pronounce this guy's name, that guy's name, whatever. Just a little exchange before the game. It's always one of the more important things you can do when you do this job is, you know, you talk to their guy. You know, how do you pronounce his name? How do you, is everything on my chart square here?
Okay.
And he walks in and he says, hi, guys, how are you? He says, Bob Kessling. Bob, you know, always have admired your work. It's great to see you. He says, I appreciate that very much. And then he looks over and he looks at Jack and me. And he says, now, I hope you all don't get mad at your spotters today because we're wearing our white jerseys with the orange numerals. They're sometimes very hard to see, so don't get upset with your spotters. And Jack slaps me on the back, goes, you're looking at him. He gets this look on his face, and he says, you spot your own game? I said, yeah. He says, really? Why? I said, and I was just messing around. I said, budget cuts? What does the spotter get? $50 a game? I don't know. we're out like $700. That was a joke on my part. But yeah, that's what we have. That's our base. That's our base. So
we use that extra money for the golf kitty.
Right, for the golf kitty. I mean, the bottom line is this. Just so everybody understands that when I make a mistake, I really am the only person responsible for that mistake. It really is all on me, okay? It's all on me, all right? I can't look and say, you know, the spotter gave me the wrong guy. I have no crutch. When I foul up, it is really moi fouling up. I don't know. I never really felt the need to really have one. And I don't know. Now, there may come a point. Can Steve see the field? but I've never really felt the need for it. And I know almost everybody has one. But, you know, I don't know.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm to that bridge yet. There's also members of the audience that felt I crossed that bridge years ago. The heck's he talking about? That bridge was crossed 8 years ago. What's he saying? All right. Our high school football announcers coming up next half hour. We got a lot to talk about. There'll be no suit in the next half hour.
He's starting to get some withdrawals. He's starting to get a little antsy.
Well, the person I feel bad for is his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, now she's going to have to sit in the stands with this maniac.
I said to him, be honest with me, straight up. You're going to look more at your phone tomorrow night than the field. He said, you're probably right.
You know, it's funny, when my sons played, I said nothing during the game. Nothing. Now, whenever, you know, obviously it was State College. Anybody for State College made a big play, I was up there cheering and the whole thing. You know, hey, great job, way to go, you know, clapping my hands, whatever. But and I was never one that said a single syllable before a play began, never called out a name, whatever. I just sat there, watched, something positive would happen for the team, and I'd be into it like obviously anybody else. But I never really, other than that, I kept my mouth shut. But that's always been my nature anyway. It was not something where I felt, well, I have to control myself. Nah, that's the way I am. And so I was never like that when my sons played, you know, football, basketball, whatever it happened to be. You know, my son would make a big play. I'd be all thrilled and I'd be cheering. Somebody else would make a big play. I'd be all happy and cheering. I mean, just, you know, you're just trying to support everybody there. And obviously, you know, my sons knew I was there. And I didn't miss. I think a lot of people thought, you know, with my schedule, I would miss. I did not, as a matter of fact. I made it to, I don't think I missed a game. I think people find that hard to believe, but I did not. I don't think I missed a game. And I always felt that was critical, that no matter what, I could make sure I was there while still maintaining my schedule. They knew I was there. And I think I missed my daughter's piano recital, and that was it. And the reason I missed it was because there was a mechanical failure on a plane that was supposed to take me back from Michigan because I was going to be back on time. And she had a piano recital at, I think, Houserville Elementary School, and I couldn't make it. And then the reason I couldn't make it was because of the plane. So, believe me, I tried. I know how he feels. The problem is that he's going to be a maniac in the stands. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to haul him out. Don't you think? I mean, he'll probably get ejected from two games this year. And it'll be like by vote for the other parents. It'll be great. Oh, my goodness. All right. 800-795-9565. But you know what? He's going to have a lot of fun. He's going to get a chance to watch his son in his senior year. Get out there. He'll get a chance to enjoy it. Be a dad. It'll be something that he'll never forget. It'll be something his son will never forget. And you know, we'll kid him relentlessly about this. But at the same time, the kidding will just be no more than just kidding. Okay, a lot going on. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. It's football season. That means it's time to hear from Doug in Wellsboro. Doug, it is always great to hear you on the other end. How are you?
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
I heard a spotter position was opening up in the Penn State booth, so I thought I'd call in and apply.
Hey, you might as well just jump right in, Doug. It's free entry into the game, man. They give you cash.
Hey, they've of course named Trace the starter, and I was trying to think back. Is there anyone that he's listed as 6 foot? But is there anyone shorter that ever started for Penn State? Chuck Fusina was like 6'1"-ish, and yeah. Do you remember like Dale Tate? Was he shorter?
No, Dale Tate was a little taller than Chuck was.
I can't think of anybody.
It's not like Matt McGloin is tall.
Right.
Matt McGloin's what, between 6 feet and 6'1"? It's about where he is. Everybody else usually been pretty good size in the 6'2 to 6'5 range. Let's see, Kerry Collins, he's out.
Rashard Casey was taller.
Yeah, he's about 6'2".
Zach Mills was over 6 foot, I think.
Yeah, he was.
I just could not, like, the Sacka boys were all taller, too.
Oh, absolutely they were. No question. Tony was taller than John, but yeah.
It never seemed to affect Doug Flutie, so I don't think it's going to really matter one way or the other, I guess.
The only thing is that, you know, sometimes as an offensive lineman, you have to open up a little bit of a lane for them to throw. But I'll be honest with you, Doug, in practice, I haven't seen a lot of passes from Trace knocked down. I mean, so, and that would happen in practice. I mean, because, you know, you can do different things such as tag off or live or whatever where the quarterback's not supposed to get hit. But that doesn't mean they can't knock down a pass. And I have seen very few passes in 2 years knocked down against him. He seems to find a lane and throw it.
Does he just have a feel for it?
Yeah, I think he has a feel for it. And, of course, it's something he's always had to live with.
Yeah.
So I think he has an understanding of what his game is and how to get around it. Now, he has to get around it at this level. And it's one thing to get around it in Virginia in high school. It's another to get around it at this level. And I know it was only one half, but Georgia didn't knock down any passes against him either. And that's a pretty good pass rush.
That's true. You're right about that. Blake Gilligan, they're not redshirting him. What does that say about the punting?
Blake Gilligan had a really good preseason, Doug. His hang time is really good. That, you know, it's one thing to kick for distance, which he can kick for distance. But just as important to me is the hang time. And I know what his hang time numbers are, Doug, and what his average hang time is during the course of the preseason. And it's a hang time that you can live with every single game. And I think that tells you a lot about where he is in all of this. And now, let's take it to the other part. It's one thing to do it in practice. Now you're going to have to do it with 11 people consumed with hate going after you. So that will be the next step. How does he handle that when he gets his opportunity with people coming at him? Now, he has people coming at him in practice, but, of course, it's a little different when they're coming at you with a different helmet on.
Yeah. Hey, last thing before the bottom of the hour. Michael Minette, are they going to try and preserve his red shirt through the season?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I knew Connor McGovern was going to you can take the music out, Sean. I knew Connor McGovern was going to make it, and I've known for about a week that Michael was in the yellow light category. Michael Minette is an excellent athlete. Excellent athlete. I mean, Doug, you'd be impressed by it for a guy his size. He's about 296, how he runs. And he has a really good feel for the game. But at the same time, you're also talking about at guard right now. They might have enough there where they can keep him off the field, red shirt, and do what you just said and preserve it. I think that's why he'd be in that yellow light category. But when he's been out there, he's performed very well, just like McGovern has. And so he's the only one that's in the gray area. And to me, that tells you this is a really good recruiting class they brought in. Really, really good. And that should tell you how comfortable they are with the veterans, that only four guys, three in the green light and one in the yellow light category, advanced.
Yeah, that's how I read into it. He's going to try and preserve his red shirt. They'll see how the year goes, injuries, performance, stuff like that, and then they'll just play it by ear. So.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Doug.
Okay, well, I know we're against the bottom of the hour, but 4 hours of Steve, it doesn't get any better than that.
Amen.
I'll be listening to all of it, too. I'll be out mowing the yard tonight, Steve, and listen to you.
Oh, I'm trying to put that visual in my head.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Doug. Always good to hear from you. Okay, bottom of the hour, news next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for This Day in Sports History, or as Sean always says, d'histoire. Why the sophistication? I don't know. 1946, Ben Hogan won the PGA Championship in Portland, Oregon. It was his first major title. I think Hogan won, I want to say he won 9 in his career. And Dwight Gooden, 1985, became the youngest pitcher to win 20 games in a major league season. Oh, what could have been with Dwight Gooden? High school football preview time. Pat O'Brien joins us as we get rolling with Sealands Grove. You will hear it on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Pat, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Looking forward to getting 2016 underway, so thanks for having me on.
How do you feel about the early start? I mean, I see no negatives to it. What about you?
I don't either. I like the school started today, so it's you get them in up, going to school, where in the past they still weren't in school yet, and you're still struggling with the kind of a schedule that way. But let's jump into a routine and get them up, get them to school, and do that tomorrow, and get off to an early start in the opener. So I like the early start. I like how it mixes right in with the start of the school year with the students and everything slowly going into the regular season.
Pat, of course, you know, there was a powerhouse team last year that they have, but the nature of high school is people move on, people graduate, new people ascend to spots. How do you look at the balance of the Sealands Grove football team heading in?
You know, there's a lot of talk about, obviously, like you said, the graduation of the 20-some kids from a year ago, and, you know, some of those played as a freshman all the way through, and so the talk is about how young they are. I don't look at it so much as them being young. I look at them being inexperienced. You have 10 seniors, 18 juniors coming into 2016. When you look back at those guys who graduated as freshmen, there were 16 seniors and 14 juniors. So, you know, there's balance that way when you look at it. But I like where Sealands Grove is right now because they're coming off of a 12-2 season. So those kids that are inexperienced had a lot of extra practice time a year ago, and now they come in as being the guys who need to step up and you know, take the torch and move this thing on. They had a great season a year ago, 12-2, playing at a very high level. So a lot of these guys are inexperienced on the field, but they're not inexperienced playing against good competition through practice and prepping for an opportunity for them to hit the big stage.
They had big leads in several games. Did some of these younger players get an opportunity in the fourth quarter just to get the appetite wet so that it's not all new to them?
They absolutely did. And, you know, when you look at programs around the area, that's what the key is to why they're programs, because you got young kids who are hungry. They practice as hard as anybody else does, and they're hungry to get on to the big stage under Friday Night Lights, and you nailed it, Steve. They had a lot of opportunities to play a year ago and play in meaningful times, too. I mean, it wasn't like they waited till it was 55-0 and they put them in. I mean, they put them in, you know, the start of the second half, mixed them in real nice, a lot of these younger kids. So they got a lot of extra time on the field, a lot of extra practice time. And there's no reason, after they get through some of the nerves and the anxiousness of being starters now, that you shouldn't see these guys excel.
For you, Pat, what's it like getting ready for an opener? Because usually by the time you get to the fifth or sixth week of a season, you have a feel for the opponent, you have a feel for your team as well. So what's it like for you in an opener?
You know, I get so worked up and anxious about it that sometimes I need to cool the jets a little bit, because I'm trying to throw it all in, and right. I got to make sure there's a long season, that I don't want to put it all out there week one. But, you know, when you talk about this transition of going into a whole new group of guys, that's exciting. Garrett Campbell, Joe Kahn, and these are guys that are going to be running back by committee. And the receiving core, 16 catches and returners from a year ago combined. But it all starts with the junior quarterback, Logan Livey, who's been playing since his middle of his freshman year. But so to answer your question, I'm so excited. You know, I'm excited about, as you said, people graduate. And then you got to take a look at the new guys coming on. And I'm as anxious as they are to see how they can do on a big stage. So I'm out of my mind right now, to tell you the truth. I'm just anxious to see this thing get underway and see these young kids get an opportunity to play in a great, rich program like Sealands Grove.
Pat, it was great to see you on Monday. You look good, man, and good luck with the season. Can't wait to hear you tomorrow night on Eagle 107.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Monday was a blast. Good to see you. Good to meet Wheels. What a nice guy. I couldn't have enjoyed talking to him more. I appreciate the opportunity on Monday.
Pat, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Enjoy, Steve. Thank you.
All right. It's going to be Shikellamy in action against Montoursville. Now, if anybody knows something about both teams, it's Mike Ferlazzo. Mike, it was great seeing you on Monday, and what an exciting opportunity for you on WKOK tomorrow night.
Yeah, it sure is. And Steve, it was nice to see you Monday as well. Hear all about the Nittany Lions coming up. And I think I've got a pretty good opener here on Friday night as Shikellamy visits Montoursville. And you mentioned I do know the Warriors pretty well. That's my alma mater. But also I called their games 3 years ago with a guy by the name of Mucina, Mark Mucina in that case. And that's going to be obviously the prime player for Montoursville this year. Another guy by the name of Mucina, Bryson Mucina, who's their 6'4", 185-pound senior quarterback. And Bryson's thrown for 4,090 yards in his career. He had 1,820 yards and 18 touchdowns last year. So he's certainly somebody that they have targeted. But I got to tell you, Shikellamy and Tate Krankowski, he certainly looked impressive last Saturday. I went to their scrimmage against Southern Columbia, the defending Class AA state champs, and he certainly seemed to have a good handle on the offense, showed good pocket presence out there, a strong arm. And I'll tell you, the Braves have a lot of skill position players, a lot of athletes out there in open space that can do some damage as well, as they certainly try and replace their top game breaker from a year ago, Sean Turber. So we're really looking forward to a good one at Montoursville.
What other takeaways did you get from that scrimmage, Mike, that really helped you build something in your mind for the opener tomorrow night at WKOK?
Well, I got to tell you, Shikellamy is going to show you some multiple looks, and that's probably good practice for Montoursville as well, because I know J.C. Kiefer there throws everything but the kitchen sink at people. He'll show a little bit of spread. He certainly will show a pistol. He'll show some wing tee. He'll show some full-house backfield. And quite frankly, that's a little bit of what I saw with Shikellamy. They have a wing tee base, but they're really not in wing tee too often. A lot of spread sets. And I think right now they're really trying to get the ball in open space to their athletes. So that's really what I was looking for, is to see what their base was. Defensively, they're a pretty straight 4-4, but I think they really want to put some pressure on Mucina tomorrow night, and I wanted to see that too. One area of concern I thought from that scrimmage, and it was kind of a surprise given that it was Southern Columbia, because you have to just play stout against the run usually against their wing tee, but they really hit them with some pass plays, particularly down along the goal line. And I know for Coach Todd Tilford, that's a bit of a concern for them, because he thought they did a good job against the run, but certainly they're going to face somebody with a big, strong passer this weekend in Mucina. So he wants to certainly shore that up before they get out on the field Friday.
Yeah, because last year that was a strength. I mean, Shikellamy had a ball-hawking secondary last year. That was a plus. Now it sounds like it's a concern.
A little bit of a concern, although, again, they've got good athletes back there, certainly. They have two returning all-conference players on defense. Derek Bussey inside at tackle, and he's 6'3", 255, a senior. And Gabe Tilford, the son of Coach Tilford, at outside linebacker. And so I think they feel pretty good about what they've got in that front eight. They've got good athletes in the back. I know Chris Tasker is coming back. He didn't play a whole lot last year at safety position. So that's it. I think it's just communication, getting some game experience. That's why that scrimmage was so important for them. And it's kind of interesting, Steve, the fact that they scrimmaged Southern Columbia, and now they open at Montoursville. And, of course, last year, the District 4 Class AA championship game was that epic game at Southern Columbia where the Tigers beat the Warriors 56-50. I don't know if we'll have that many points on Friday night, but we'll certainly expect some score.
You and Dick Hoare will be talking all night. In fact, the post-game show with the highlights would take forever if you did that. What's your excitement
sure.
level just to get going and to tackle this new assignment?
Well, I think it's pretty high, because obviously I've got a legendary figure to replace myself just for a season. Let's make that clear to everybody. I'm just keeping the seat warm for Kevin Herr, who, rightfully so, wants to follow his son his senior year.
Oh, yeah, no.
But,
absolutely,
yeah.
But we're going to do a fan vote at the end of the year, so I mean.
Yeah. But it's kind of important to me. I'll tell you, the one thing that's great is our daughter, Caitlin, is actually a senior at Shikellamy this year, too, so I'm kind of excited about that. But as far as getting started, I think that's the big thing. I heard Pat talk about that, too. You have all this prep to get ready for the opener, and I looked at the scrimmage, but I wasn't calling the scrimmage last week, and quite frankly, I did something different than play-by-play football last year. I did a scoreboard show. So getting back in the chair and getting back into play-by-play, that's going to be kind of big for me as we start things off.
Well, as we wait for Kevin's return next year, you'll do a great job this year. We're looking forward to it, Mike. Thanks so much for the time.
Yep, thank you, Steve.
All right, WKOK tomorrow night. We'll have that game for you as Shikellamy will play at Montoursville. Last but absolutely not least on what we have, we'll be on the 100.9 The Valley. It's going to be Lewisburg taking on Hughesville. And Greg Wetzel joins us. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing great. So give us a thumbnail on Lewisburg and what your read has been so far in the preseason.
I believe their strength is going to be their offense and defensive lines. They lost a lot of skilled players last year. Their quarterback, they lost two wide receivers, Noah Inch and Matt Federaca. So I think they're going to have to depend on that offensive line to get the offense going. The other thing, they have a freshman quarterback. He's very talented. He's a big kid. He's 6'1", 215 pounds. He has talent, but he's a freshman. And they're going to have to tighten some things up on offense with the running game. I think by the end of the year, he's going to be doing a great job for him. He's really got a lot of talent. He showed at Selins Grove he can throw the ball in the scrimmage on Saturday.
Well, that's a big plus. Now, the next part is you mentioned the defensive front. Give me an idea what that defensive front at Lewisburg can mean to really make the back seven better.
Well, they really get after it. They go after the quarterback hard. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback in the scrimmage. They have two good kids in that front line. They have a D-Ghost who goes 6'2", 275, and they have a little lighter guy, short. He's about 5'8", 195 pounds, Riley Shaw. They both have experience playing defense, and they really are quick off the ball, and I really think they're going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback that will help that back seven.
How do you look at the opener with Hughesville? Do you have any read on them?
That's a tough one to figure out right now. I really think this is going to be one on the offensive or defensive lines. Hughesville returns a quarterback, a starting quarterback, Landon Henry, who played for him last year and did a really nice job for him last year. And they also return an offensive tackle, defensive tackle, a guy by the name of Josh Dauberman. He's like 6'5", 295, and he can move. He wrestles, so he's good with his hands, things like that. That's who they're going to have to control. And if they can control the line of scrimmage, I think they're going to have success.
Greg, good luck with that tomorrow night. Appreciate your time very much. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
You'll hear that at 100.9 The Valley tomorrow night, Lewisburg and Hughesville. So there's your High School Football Announcers Roundtable, our first one for the season. It's great that we can do it in August because that means the season is upon us tomorrow night. You'll have Selins Grove in action tomorrow evening on Eagle 107. That will start at 6 tomorrow night, by the way. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff of that game. And on WKOK, you'll have Montoursville at home taking on Shikellamy. That'll be at 6:30 tomorrow night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And 6:30 tomorrow evening, you will also have Lewisburg in action against Hughesville. That is at 6:30 with a 7 o'clock kickoff. And don't forget, the Selins Grove Milton game is also on WMLP, which will begin at 6:30. I think we covered all the bases. There we go. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Tomorrow, Erica Dombach, the head coach of the national champion Penn State women's soccer team, will join us. And we'll have an Olympics segment tomorrow that includes a rather blunt Kale Sanderson. And a blunt. Monday, confirmed Jack Ham. Of course, it's contingent on us winning.
And we just want him in a good mood. Want him in a, Mr. Ham. We need Mr. Ham in a good mood.
In a good mood.
I'm not adding more pressure on you when I say that. I'm not.
I talked to him this afternoon. I said, I could bring in a ringer. And he actually considered it. So, this is really going well.
You got another 79 in you, right?
I better not foul this up. God. All right. We'll have fun with it. The Harrison interview took place. Harrison, Clay Matthews, and Julius Peppers all expect to get the same statement that the league made about Peyton Manning and that Major League Baseball made about Ryan Howard and Ryan Zimmerman. Because remember, Howard and Zimmerman are in this thing, too. And there's a source saying there's no new evidence. All the players are extremely irritated they had to interview. Because you don't know what questions they're going to ask, how they want to ask it, how they may want to, you know, if you say it just the wrong way, will they trap you with it? But they are, and the players have admitted privately, all of them are annoyed they had to submit to the interviews. Each one of them says they were not confronted with any new evidence or allegations. The only one that hasn't been talked to yet is Mike Neal, but Mike Neal's not with the team right now. He's a free agent. They, of course, interviewed and cleared Peyton Manning already. So now these guys are expecting Peppers, Harrison, Neal, and Harrison. And Harrison's the one that said it, that the NFL's investigation is going to conclude with the players that they did nothing wrong and that the league's going to issue the same statement for them than they did for Peyton Manning. And the same story as what happened with Ryan Howard and Ryan Zimmerman and Major League Baseball, who were named in the report and then publicly cleared by Major League Baseball last week after they concluded their investigation. So that's where it is. That's where it is. It's not... something about this was just uncomfortable to me the entire time. I don't know. I just didn't... You feel like, yeah, they put out a report, so let's do a witch hunt here on something that you test for. If you test for it, do you really have to look into it? But that's been my stance the entire time on it. And you know me, I've never been a James Harrison defender. Never have been. Now, I mean, very rare when I've been a defender of James Harrison. Well, not this time.
Some think he could be caving just for talking to the NFL. I just wanted the whole thing just to be over and done with. But bottom line, it's just forcing cooperation and bending the collective bargaining agreement to the will of the National Football League and the commissioner.
And that the one thing that you don't want out of this from a player's point of view is that can they go on any witch hunt they want any time they want? That's what... That's what I think is a concern. You can make an accusation about anybody. It can be a completely false accusation, but now you've got to answer questions about it? Really? Okay. Second hour of the show coming up. Check out our high school football preview on the podcast at Steve Jones Show. Great stuff with all of our announcers. We'll call the games tomorrow night. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.